All right, welcome to Blackhawk Church. My name is Chris, one of the pastors on the teaching team here at Blackhawk. Welcome to those of you who are watching online, those of you who are at one of our sites in Fitchburg or downtown or one of our other venues here at Brader Way, and welcome to those lovely people in the room with me right now. Good to see you here. And also, I hope you can join us here at Brader Way on Tuesday for our prayer night. This is the Lenten season. We thought it was a great idea to just have a special prayer and worship night, so I hope you can join me this Tuesday for that. So we're continuing our series on Lent. We're calling it In Practice, the Basics of Lent. And we started the series just a couple of weeks ago. And on that Sunday, I reminded you that Lent simply means, it's another word for spring. Actually, it comes from the word for like lengthening. The idea of the lengthening of the daylight hours happens in spring. And so that's kind of where the word comes from. In the early church, especially before like the 300s, the church used this lengthening days, these Lenten days, as an opportunity to train people about what the basics of the Christian faith are. So it's training that happens in spring, spring training that reminds me that Major League Baseball is happening now. Spring training started last Friday, pitchers and catchers reported. And so in just a few weeks, I'll be making an announcement about which team I believe is going to win the World Series this year. And I wonder what team I'm going to announce. So if you're a visitor and you go, something's going on here, just talk to somebody before you leave and they'll kind of inform you about what the greatest team in the world actually is. But in the early days, this time was a time of training these Christ followers, what it meant to be a Christ follower. And then they would train them on all kinds of different things. And so we're not exactly sure exactly what that training kind of looked like, but it probably would have included some of the things that we put in our training material. So here's like our training. The first week I talked about what Lent is and fasting, and then obedience. Last week, Pastor Knox talked about that. Baptism today, gathering to worship, giving to the poor, engaging with the Bible, Lord's Supper. And there's surely more things that they would have talked about, but as the teaching team was putting this together, we figured out like these are the basics of the Christian faith. They would have probably talked with those early believers about that. And then they used that period to train them. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? And then the baptisms followed. So today, churches baptize people all kinds of different times. But in the early first couple of hundred years, baptism happened on Pascha. We call it Easter. It wasn't called that until about the 800s, but that's when they were baptized. So here's something from the Common Book of Prayer from the Episcopal Church. The first Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's Passion and Resurrection, and became the custom of the church to prepare them by a season of penitence and fasting. The season of Lent provided a time which converts to the faith prepared for baptism. So in the first couple hundred years of the church, maybe the first 300 years, most baptisms took place, as far as we know. It's difficult when you're going back to church history and trying to figure out exactly what took place, but most of them took place on Pascha or Easter Sunday. So today's message is about baptism. And there are several difficulties I have with giving a message on baptism, and let me kind of list a couple of those. The first difficulty is actually the audience that I'm speaking to, because many of you have already been baptized and you're wishing you were here like on a different Sunday and he would talk about something else, and already you're bored. You go, been there, done that. So like, what does this have to do with like me and my life? Because I was already baptized and stuff like that. Some of us look at baptism as something that's for children, and you know, I've been a Christian all my life, and so I'm an adult now and I'm dealing with other things. I wish you could be more practical. So for some reasons, I have difficulty with a message like this because of those of you who are listening and you're just like tuning me out automatically. So let me just kind of give you a heads up. You might find some things in the message today which will kind of reignite your faith in Christ. I hope that's the case. The second reason why a message on baptism is difficult is because the subject matter. So if you're not aware, the subject matter of baptism is something that Christ followers have kind of had fights and schisms over for like centuries. If you're not aware of that, just trust me, okay? It's happened. So there's lots of debate about different kinds of baptisms and like when and like how and all that kind of thing. So that's the kind of the history of the church. So I decided today, I'm definitely not going to solve those problems like today, you know, like a 30-minute talk. That's impossible. So I decided not to kind of, here's one view and here's another view and there's strengths and weaknesses of this view, strengths and weaknesses, like I do a lot of times. I just decided that I'm not a historical theologian. I probably would get some facts wrong anyway. So the best thing to do would probably just to talk about what we do at Blackhawk. I know something about that. So I thought today I would just talk about why we do what we do, the way we do it here at Blackhawk Church. So for us, baptism is extremely important, but it's not the most important thing. It's not the most important thing at all. In fact, the most important thing at Blackhawk here, we believe, is the gospel. The good news about Jesus Christ. That's primary. Baptism is secondary. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul is writing to the people who are living in Corinth. There are probably different house churches in Corinth. So again, there was like no buildings like this one or anything like that. So they gathered in different homes and houses. And he's writing to the people that are Christ followers in Corinth. And he's writing about kind of a division that's already cropping up in within that church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 10, or 1, verse 10. I'll be reading than the 2011 New International Version. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. See, that's one of the households. There were several households, and Chloe had a group of believers that were meeting there, and she's talking about those folks. What I mean is this, verse 12. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Now, the reason I'm using this passage is because of verse 17. I'm trying to point out that there's a difference between baptism and the gospel. Some people think they're the same thing, and they're not. They're different. Look at verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but, the contrast, to preach the gospel. So whatever baptism is, it's not the same as the gospel. And to Paul, it is the gospel that is primary. To Paul, the gospel is the most important thing, not baptism. He couldn't even remember like who he all baptized, but it was the proclamation of the gospel. For to Paul, the gospel, that carries the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes it. He writes that to the church in Rome. He writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." Let me ask you a question. What is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes? The answer is, okay, just a second. When I do that, especially when I say the answer is, then you can like answer, okay? That's, you can participate, all right? Look at the verse. Look at it, look at it, look at it. Here's the question. From Paul's perspective, what is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. It is awesome. Here you go. The gospel. It is not baptism. It is the gospel. You believe the gospel that brings salvation, not baptism. It's different from that. What is the gospel? Paul makes that clear as he writes to the Corinthians. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you're saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Now, this is the gospel. That Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. That he was buried. That he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared also to me, as to one abnormally born. The gospel, not baptism, the gospel is primary. The gospel has the power to save people, those people who actually believe in it. What's the gospel? Well, Paul just went through it. And it revolves around those four verbs. Look at those four verbs. For what I received, I passed on to you, that Christ died, he was buried, he was raised, and then he appeared. The gospel is the good news about what God has done for us by sending Christ to rescue us from our sins. And it's the core of it, the very center of it, are those four verbs right there. He died, was buried, raised, and then appeared. He died for our sins. That is, the things that we should be punished for. He died in our place. He took the punishment that we deserve. But because he's the Son of God, he's more powerful than sin, death, and Satan. So he defeated sin and death and Satan. And he rose from the dead. Proof of the fact that he rose from the dead was that he appeared to people. People could see him. And actually, wow, unbelievable. It's true. That is the gospel. When people believe that, that's how you become a Christ follower, by believing in that message. Baptism then follows that. And it's not the same as the gospel. So this is a whole message on baptism, but at Blackhawk Church, we don't believe it's the most important thing. It is the gospel that's the most important thing. Well, why do we talk about baptism? Because baptism is extremely important. Why is it important? Well, Jesus wanted his people to be baptized. He wanted to go around baptizing people. And the early church practiced baptism as a kind of a way that they could show their commitment to Christ first. Christ commanded that people be baptized. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. It's called the Great Commission. Matthew 28. How you guys doing? Are you okay? Nobody said anything. Okay. All right. All right. Very powerful passage here. All right. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore," let's stop for just a second because I think I'm losing you guys. Look at that first. That first sentence is very powerful. I mean, especially like from what's going on today. Look at it. All authority in heaven and on earth, has been given to Christ. He's the most powerful person in the world. Somebody say amen. He has all authority, all authority. The president of the United States is not the most powerful person in the world. Have you noticed? People say that a lot. Now, I know what people mean by that, because we have this incredible military. Many of us have served in the military. Awesome. Great. Great. But the President of the United States is not the most powerful person on earth. Jesus Christ is the most powerful person. He has all authority. If Christ doesn't come back for the next 1,000 years, you guys, 1,000 years from now, the United States probably won't even exist, okay? hope that doesn't come as a shock, okay? Wisconsin probably won't even exist. The buildings in Washington, D.C. and Madison, they will be relics. They won't even exist. They'll be like pictures or video or whatever they have 1,000 years from now. They won't even exist. But the church of Jesus Christ will exist, okay? Because Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. Kingdoms, presidents, we're in a kind of election season. You might notice that. People, these people come and go. They come and go. Empires come and go. But the church will last forever. The body of Christ. Just kind of wanted to wake you up from your slumber there. Therefore, because he has all this authority, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the next 1,000 years. No, to the very end of the age. This is a very powerful passage. It's called the Great Commissioning. It's the marching orders for any gospel preaching church. And one of the things he says there is that he wants us to make disciples. He wants us to baptize disciples. He wants us to teach disciples. That's what we're about. Reaching more, helping more and more people become better followers of Christ. We're about that. Any gospel preaching church should be about the very same thing. All our marching orders come from this passage right there. And that passage teaches that Christ believes that baptism is extremely important. He wants his church to baptize people. And that's exactly what his church did. As you go to the early accounts of what the early Christian did, the Acts of the early Christ followers, the Acts of the Apostles, you see that they proclaimed the gospel, people believed the gospel, and then they were baptized. It's an inviolable pattern that you see as these churches acted out their faith. So here's the pattern. The gospel is proclaimed, people believe, people are baptized. F.F. Bruce, a New Testament scholar, writes, "The idea of an unbaptized Christian is simply not entertained in the New Testament." Here's the pattern. Book of Acts. Repent, be baptized. Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number. When they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit, just as we have. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, then immediately he and all his household were baptized. Many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. John told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do you get the pattern? It's a basic pattern. Jesus says, "I want you to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit." People hear the gospel. Baptism doesn't save us, right? The gospel saves us. People hear the gospel, they believe, and then they are baptized. Now, for many of us, our experience was not this as we were growing up. Indeed, it was not my experience. When I was a child, an infant, I didn't know anything about the gospel. I couldn't understand anything. I was baptized. Or so my parents told me, because I have no idea. I was there, they say, but I don't remember. So the pattern was like this. I was born into this world, then I was baptized, and then I grew up, and then years later, I heard the gospel, and I believed. That's not the same pattern as we see in the Bible. The Bible is people hear, they believe, then they are baptized. For many of us, we're baptized first. Then we believe, and then we live our lives. Now, the reason why we're baptized first is people mean incredibly wonderful things for us. They want only good things for us. This is kind of like it's the Jewish rite of circumcision. When you're born, if you're a male, then you're circumcised like on the eighth day, like right away. And Christians Christianized circumcision, and they turned it into like baptism. So it's well-meaning people want you to be in the family of faith, in the covenant community. And so after you're born, you're baptized right away. You have no idea what's going on. You don't even remember it. It's something that happens to you when you're a child. Because of this, some people actually think they're born Christians. That's not true at all. You might be born into a Christian family. You might be born into a Christian environment. But according to the Bible, you have to hear, you have to understand, believe the gospel. It is the gospel that has the power of God for salvation, not baptism. It's the gospel. You believe that, then you're baptized. And at Black Hawk Church, that's pretty much what we practice. It's believer's baptism. Well, what about children? Well, we dedicate children to the Lord because we want nothing but good for our kids. So here at the Brader Way site, we have a baptism every once in a while. Here's a picture of, did I say baptism? It says a slip. We have a dedication every once in a while, and there's a children's dedication on January 31st. At the Fitchburg site and the downtown site, they do different things. They do this in the service itself. But here we have dedications that happen like every once in a while, and they're in the bulletin for those of us here at the Brader Way site. Here's an opportunity for children to be presented before the Lord and before the family, the community of believers, and a pastor prays over the child, and the mother and father kind of participate in this. It's very solemn, it's very important ceremony. But the children has no idea what's happening. We want them then to come to a place in their life where they grow, they hear the gospel, and then they believe. It's not their parents' faith, it's their faith. Because it's the gospel that has the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Not baptism. So sometimes that happens in middle school or as kids are growing up. In middle school, we put an emphasis on this, and there's a middle school retreat, a snow camp, this going on this weekend. Some of our kids are there, and we're talking about baptism there with them, talking about faith in Christ. But at Blackhawk, we don't believe that baptism is the most important thing. It's responding to the gospel. And sometimes as you're growing up, you hear, you understand, you believe. And then after you believe, we would like you to be baptized. Baptism is important because it's what the Lord wants us to do. And it's also important because it's a very powerful symbol. It's a very powerful symbol. And if you don't think symbols are important, then if you're married, try losing your wedding ring sometime and telling your spouse, oh, it's just my ring. It doesn't mean much. Try that one on, okay? So this is a symbol. It's an outward sign of an inward reality. This ring does not marry me, okay, to my wife. It doesn't marry me. My commitment to her, that's what marries me. But this was an outward symbol. An outward symbol, a very important symbol. I lost my wedding ring once, so that's like a true story. But I didn't say to my wife, it's not important, because it was very important. And we searched and searched and searched for the ring, because it's an important symbol of my commitment to her. Outward sign of an inward reality. Baptism is also a symbol. It's a symbol that we have been united with Jesus Christ once we understood the gospel. There are very many, there are a lot of verses for that. Here's a few. Romans 6. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus, look at that, that's powerful, isn't it? We're baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in his death, like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection, like his. Very powerful passage Paul's writing to the church in Rome. Now, let me ask you a question. Where was Christ when he died? And don't say Jerusalem, okay? Where was he? He was on a... Good, you did better that time. Okay, he was on a cross. Okay, let's say this is a cross. He's on a cross, okay? He died on a cross. After he died on a cross, he was what? He was buried. After he's buried, he what? So that's the gospel right there, right? He died on a cross. Now, when you come into the waters of a baptistry, it's like you're standing straight up and down, okay, like this. And it's like you're being kind of, this is all metaphor, you guys, it's symbolic, okay? It's like, it's a picture of you being like united with Christ. And then what that passage is saying, it's like you're being buried with him. And then you're raised to walk a new life. In fact, when we baptize, people hear the pastors say, buried with Christ, raised to walk a new life. Now, does it happen there in the water? No, no, no. This is metaphor, okay? It happens when you place your faith in Christ. But baptism is an outward symbol of that fact. Does my ring marry me? No, it doesn't marry me, okay? It's an inward commitment to mine. That's what marries me. But this is a symbol that I'm like married to her. It's very powerful. Symbol. And the baptism is very powerful. It symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that we've been united with that. It also symbolizes the fact that we've been clothed with Christ. We were clothed with Christ. And we're also like washed. Our sins are like washed away. Here, look at this passage. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on his name. Obviously, water is coming off of you. That's a cool symbol for that. Titus, we see this passage. He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Again, the Holy Spirit's like washing us, poured out on us. All these things are like spiritual things that take place to us. But baptism can picture that kind of thing, washing away. You come up out of the water, kind of thing, washed away. It's also the clothing thing, Galatians 3. So in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. Again, when you come up out of the water, it's like you're completely covered, and it's like you're completely clothed with Christ. And this kind of like helps you then in your life as you go live your life and you go, should I watch that? Should I do that? No, 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 it's Christ is on me. I can't do it. Should I behave that way? No, Christ is covering me. So it's, again, it's a very powerful kind of thing. When you're baptized, you'll never, ever forget it. Trust me. Listen, you're going to forget all the sermons that like I've ever preached, okay? Trust me. 40 years from now, you won't even remember my name 40 years from now. But if you're baptized, you always remember that. There's something different about coming to church and getting all wet, okay? You will never, ever forget that. It'll always be something that sticks with you. And it reminds you the fact that I belong to Christ. I'm like clothed with Christ. I'm like covered with Christ. Does baptism save you? The answer is good. You've listened. What saves us? It's believing in the gospel saves us. But baptism pictures death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Pictures the fact that we're clothed with Christ. Pictures the fact that their sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. It pictures all those things. It's very important. It's also an outward testimony to other people that I am indeed a Christ follower. It's an outward testimony. We see this as Paul is writing to Timothy in Ephesus. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life for which you were called. When you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So it's a custom that at your baptism, then that was a testimony to other people, I'm indeed a Christ follower. Now some people are going to say, you know, my commitment to Christ is like a personal, it's a private thing. Can I have a private baptism? I like a private baptism. I don't want like be baptized in front of a bunch of people. You know, I don't know how to respond to that really. It's kind of like my saying to my wife, you know, I know this doesn't marry me, you know. I know it's my commitment that marries me. It's a personal thing between me and you. But is it okay if I just cover this ring up so it's just private between you and me? Nobody sees that. Would my wife like that? No. No, she wants it. I belong to her. It's a public thing. You don't cover up your wedding ring. Baptism is not something that's private. It's public. I'm a follower of Christ. Giving a testimony about that for people is going to be very, very difficult. I mean, what's more difficult? You know, what's more difficult? Sharing your faith with your friends and family. I mean, that's like the most difficult thing. And baptism can be a fantastic way of doing that. We learned a long time ago that people are like petrified to like speak in public and stuff like that. So I don't get that, but people tell me that that's the truth, where people are petrified. So instead of having a microphone in front of someone, we've decided that, you know, here at Black Hawk, this is what we do. It's not right or wrong. This is what we do. We have you write your testimony down. It's your words. You write it down. And then someone who's not afraid to speak in public then reads your testimony like right before you're baptized. And we know there's a crowd and stuff like that. So we have you baptized in a place where the people that you see that, you know, that are right in front of you are the people that are most important to you. We have you invite those people up and then just watch your baptism. It's like you're on the side of a river or something. And then those people who are closest to you, they watch you get baptized. You guys, it's so powerful. If you come to a place in your life, especially if you're an adult, and you say, you know what? This Lenten season is different. Something's happened to me. And I want my adult children to know that I'm a Christ follower. I want my friends to know I'm a Christ follower. If you send them an invitation to your baptism, they're going to show up. Why? Because they like Black Hawk Church? No, because they like you. And that's an opportunity for you to just tell them your story, you know? If you say, I want to be baptized, I want to show people that I'm committed to Christ, could you come to that? People will come. They will drive hundreds of miles. They'll book flights to come because they like you. And it gives you an opportunity to not be private, but to be public. Most important thing in my life is I follow the most powerful person in the world. That's Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing to me. It can be a very powerful event. We asked someone if they would be willing to tell their story on video and watch your baptism. So watch this.
My name is David Porto. I have been following Christ for about 8 years, and this is my story. I always knew that God existed. I always knew that He was real. I just didn't ever understand what it meant for me personally in my life. So it was kind of this whole new thing for me as I got to college and was able to experience really that the things that I thought would be satisfying in my life weren't satisfying for me at all. In 2 days' time, my oldest brother got married, intense joy, and the next day, my grandmother passed away, and I was sitting on the back porch with my other brother, a Christ follower for a few years at that time, trying to work through all the emotions that were going on in my mind. And eventually it came down to, if I continue to live the way that I am living right now, the only thing I will ever be able to do at the end of the day is love myself. And I had reached a point in my life where I didn't want to just be focused on loving myself. I wanted to be able to love others. I wanted to be able to be compassionate towards them. And doing it my way wasn't working at all. As I really started my walk with Christ, I found myself in the Bible, in the Gospels, just like most other people do. And one quote that has always stuck with me is, to live like Jesus in the power of the Spirit for the glory of God. And in chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark, who gets baptized? Jesus. So if my aim is to walk like he walked on this earth, and he's God, and he is getting baptized, how much more would he want me to get baptized? Thinking about being baptized was a little scary for me. Up to that point, being a Jesus follower, if I wanted it to be, could be just for me. But I knew that it was important for everyone else to see what I was feeling and to know what I was experiencing. And for me, that was a really great way to share with them. I remember every moment of the day of my baptism. It was one of the most exciting days of my life. I remember going to the locker room and changing clothes and walking out and the nervous anticipation of, what are my mom and dad going to think? What is my family going to think? What is everyone else going to think? I mean, I'm a natural born performer, and this was, to me, one of the most nerve-wracking times that I could think of.
David Porto. I always knew that God existed and that he was real, but I never let him into my life. I always wanted to play by my rules, thinking that it would give me more freedom. God used my brother Michael to show me his love and his unending desire for a personal relationship with me. It wasn't until after my grandmother passed away and I was sitting with Michael on her back patio that I came to the realization that I couldn't truly love anyone else as long as my focus was my own happiness. I decided to surrender to Christ, and that was the most freedom-giving decision that I've ever made.
David, because of your testimony of faith and your decision to submit your life to Jesus, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ, raised to walk a new life.
I remember coming up out of the water with this sense of unparalleled, intense joy coming out of the water, and just feeling the rush was overwhelming. I mean, it was just, it was amazing. It was amazing. It's not about having to do anything. For me, baptism is more of an opportunity to be able to say, I have accepted you. This is a really good way for me to show you thank you. A really great opportunity to say thanks.
I wrote a booklet about baptism. We made that available to all the sites, all the venues, and you can just pick this up in the atrium here, Brader Way Info Centers. Our next baptism is on April 3rd. And many of you have listened to this message and you are surprised by what's going on in your heart right now. You've been convicted. Let me just tell you this. I've baptized hundreds and hundreds of people. And after the baptism, people go dry up and they change clothes and they come back and they hug me sometimes, and there's people there and there's pictures and stuff. No one has ever said, I wish I hadn't done that. That just doesn't happen. Most people go, this is the best day of my life. This is awesome. I'm so happy. Could you come and meet my family? Baptism is a way that you show your adult children, your friends, your coworkers. It's a way of showing them you're serious about being a follower of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to listen to what happened in the early church, how important it was people hear the gospel, believe, and are baptized. I thank you, Father, for the hundreds and hundreds of people that have been baptized and the conversations that generate from that when people, that are friends and relatives, and they come travel lots of miles and they're wondering, what is this? Why is this happening for you? And the conversations that take place from that, opportunities for us in loving ways to talk to people who love us, already love us, about the fact that we're committed followers of Christ. The most important thing in our life is to follow you. I pray, Father, you would help people as they wrestle and make decisions. I pray, Father, that you would help us to be a church that truly follows you. We pray this in Christ's name and for the sake of his reputation. All God's people said.